But the kingdom of God in its fullness is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series on heaven. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Joy from Heaven.
We're going to talk about, as you see in the words there, the word that's bolded is that word joy. And so our message today is going to be on joy. And so we've been starting off, this is what I call, homileticians call a motto text. And you say, well, what is a motto text? Well, it's a text that you kind of base your scripture on that you never really get back to. So we're going to base our scripture, our message on this scripture. Probably won't get back to it, but it'll give us a good foundation to spring off of this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So we see that word joy appearing here. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, Mary's baby boy. Mary, didn't you know? Amen. Mary's baby boy. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, feeding trough. And there, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so today we want to talk about this joy from heaven, that Jesus came to bring us joy from heaven. As we think about heaven, there are several ideas that people have about heaven. One idea that people have about heaven is that we're going to sit on a cloud all day and play harps. And they kind of think that, you know, that's the idea and the image that some people have about heaven, you know. And you know, one of the songs that I really like, but I think that there's some bad theology in the song, and it says, I'm going to walk around heaven all day. And that's a wonderful song. You know, I know it goes way back, and we sing that song. But there's a line in the song that says, every day will be Sunday, and the Sabbath will have no end. And so I think that that has turned a lot of people off, because really, think about it. If people don't want to come to church, you know what I'm saying? Then why would I want to go to heaven if every day is going to be like Sunday? You know, so I think to some degree, and I mean, I get the point of the song, and I get the emphasis of the song, but I think that somebody just sitting and listening to that song that really don't want to go to church anyway, they will say that I don't want to go to heaven because, you know, I don't want to like going to church. And so they have the wrong idea about heaven. We see also that heaven will be the concept that some people say, well, it's going to be boring in heaven. You know, I've heard people tell me that they don't want to go to heaven because it's going to be boring. And again, I think that they probably, and forgive me for saying this, but I think that they probably base it upon worship services that they've experienced here on this earth. They say, you know, man, church is boring. And so they translate that over to heaven also and think that heaven is boring. Now, as you know, there's songs that I always go back to, back in the day. And so I have another song, so y'all bear with me on this song. But some of you may have heard this song. It's by Billy Joel. He's very popular singer back in the 70s and 80s and still does a lot of concerts today. But he had a song, and the title of the song is Only the Good Die Young. And I took a line or a couple lines out of that song. Now, and you know what? People that listen to music are influenced by music. And so I would imagine that there's a whole lot of people that have listened to this song and have swallowed the Kool-Aid. And I think Billy Joel is I think he's a great singer. I think he has a lot of great songs. But they have swallowed the Kool-Aid that Billy Joel has sold them. And look what it says here. They say there's a heaven for those who wait. Some say it's better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Sinners are much more fun. Only the good die young. And so just think, if you listen to that song over and over again and you have no relationship with the Lord, you know, how are you going to be impacted by that song right there? When you say, and a lot of people, now come on now, come on. Y'all all know people that think that God's people, that sinners are boring or dull or no fun. And all you got to do is hear lines from a song like this and you continue to think that. And now even to the point that this man says that I don't even want to go to heaven. You know, I don't want to go to heaven. He said it's better to laugh with the sinners. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Sinners are much more fun. You know, only the good die young. Hey, I got news for you, Billy Joel. I got news for you, because as we go to this next slide, we see here, somebody asked the question, will there be laughter? Well, I'm walking all over the spread here. Somebody can take care of that afterwards. All right. Somebody said, will there be laughter in heaven? And Martin Luther, who wrote the song that we sing during the Advent moment, Martin Luther said this: if you are not allowed to laugh in heaven, then I don't want to go there. And so, you know, again, you know, here is somebody that realizes the nature of heaven and that there is going to be laughter in heaven, that heaven will be a place of laughter and joy. As a matter of fact, look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 21. Jesus spoke of laughter in heaven when he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So he's talking about heaven, you know, this kingdom of God, heaven. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied." "Blessed are you who weep now, for what? You shall laugh." You shall laugh. And, you know, because I wanted to make sure of what this was saying, I actually went and looked it up in the Greek. I looked up the Greek word for laugh. And you know what the Greek word for laugh means? Laugh. It means a laugh. So there's going to be laughter in heaven. Can you believe that? When we get to heaven, there's going to be joy and there's going to be laughter in heaven. Now, somebody might ask the question, well, what is joy? What is joy? And joy is an inner feeling of peace and happiness that is not based in our circumstances, but is rooted and grounded in a relationship with God. That's what joy is. Joy is this inner peace and this feeling of happiness that we have. And it's not based on our circumstances, but it's based and rooted and grounded in a relationship with God. Now, oftentimes, people will come up and ask you, "How you doing?" Right? And I know sometimes I'm not doing too good. You know, something, I just got finished dealing with something unpleasant. You know, something happened that kind of put a damper on my day. And so, you know, a lot of times, like all of us, right? Now, Pastor Glaze's not the only one that does this. Sometimes we say, "Well, you know, I'm doing good." But we know we're not doing good. You know, you know you're not doing good. But you know what? Even in the midst of that, the fact that you're not doing good, you should still have joy. You should still not allow your joy to be taken away from you. Because you'll notice here that it's not rooted in your circumstances, but it's rooted in a relationship with God. So, you know, maybe the thing to say is, well, you know what? I'm really not doing too good right now. You know, I got some struggles. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. But you know what? I still got my joy. You know, in the midst of all that, I still have my joy. And you know, when you think about heaven, heaven is a place of joy. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I want to go to hell because my friends are going to be there. And they think it's going to be a one eternal party that's in hell. And, you know, if you really think about from the biblical standpoint what the Bible says about it, you realize that it's not going to be a fun place. You realize, as a matter of fact, first of all, when you say all my friends are going to be there, the first thing that you're counting on or that your friends are going to be there, right? You know, some of your friends might have got saved and they went to heaven. And then, even if they are there, you know, all you got to do is go back and read Luke chapter 16, and you can see that it's not a party, all right? But I'm here to tell you that heaven is a party. Heaven is one eternal party. Now, where do you get that from? Look at all these scriptures right here. And I went through the Bible, and I began to look at all those scriptures that talk about joy in heaven. The first one is that God is in heaven. God is in heaven, and in his presence, according to Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, right? Heaven, we got to read this right here because we quote it all the time. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Turn to Matthew chapter 25 because we say this all the time. You know, if you ask anybody, what do you want to hear when you get to heaven? What do they say? What do you want to hear? Well done. All right, so we quote that part of the verse, right? But we leave out a whole nother part of it. We got the part right that says, well done. But look at verse 21. He says here, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Oh, watch this now. Watch this. Enter thou into what? The joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Look at verse 20. What's that? What's another verse that I had up there? You switched it up on me now. 23. Thank you. All right. Verse 23. All right. And he said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Heaven is going to be a place of joy. You know, I remember, and I often tell this when I do a homegoing service, when my kids had their Kennywood picnic. And I remember, you know, they would be all excited about going to Kennywood. And they would get up, you know, like 4:30 in the morning, you know, because they were so excited and ready to go to Kennywood. And you know, they would be asking like the whole time, is it time to go? Is it time to go to Kennywood? You know, and then, you know, when we finally got things together and we headed to Kennywood, you know, around 11 o'clock or so. And I remember we would be driving across the Rankin Bridge, right? And they would see one of the rides. Oh, look, I can see the jackrabbit. I can see the steel phantom. You know, they would just be excited because they got a glimpse of what Kennywood, you know. And then we drove up Kennywood Boulevard, right? And then as we drove up and more rides got in sight, man, the bigger their eyes got and the more excited that they got. And then you pulled up into the parking lot and they couldn't wait to get out of the car. And then you got out of the car, and just remember, I don't know if you went to a park like that when you were a child, but just think about that when you got to the park that, you know, I see very few kids, very few. Now, there are some, but I see very few kids at Kennywood who don't have excitement on their face. You know, there's some, if they didn't get what they wanted, they get a little attitude, or if it's time to go. You know, that's probably the saddest time at Kennywood, when it's time to go. That's when you get all the resistance, right? But you know, just think of a child. Now, for adults, you know, we got a different perspective on things, because, you know, we got to go in the pocket, right? And you know, it's $40 to get in the place. So, you know, we already got a lower attitude about going anyways. But, you know, just think of that child and how that when they get to the park, and just that euphoric feeling comes over them of just being in Kennywood, and just the excitement of just being there. Even though they haven't got on one ride yet, man, I'm in Kennywood. And you know what? That illustration just scratches the surface of what the joy is going to be like in heaven. I mean, man, that doesn't do it any justice. But that's the closest that I can think of, you know, just what the feeling of being in heaven like is like. You know, that joy that's there, it's called the place of joy. You know, even when somebody gets saved, they throw a party in heaven. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says that there is joy in heaven when a sinner repents. And then Jesus said, the world rejoices now, but one day God's people will rejoice eternally in heaven. And then I like this. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. Romans chapter 14 in verse 7. You know, people say heaven is going to be boring. Billy Joel said that he'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, you know, because sinners are much more fun. Well, I tell you what, bro, you haven't studied the Word of God. You haven't looked at the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Look what it says there. For the kingdom of God. Oh, the kingdom of God. You know, what is it? I mean, there's a sense in which we are in the kingdom now, but the kingdom of God in its fullness is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all about joy. And then finally we see Revelation 21 and verse 4. In heaven, God will wipe away all tears, and there will be no mourning, crying, or pain, only joy. Just think of your loved ones that have passed away, and they might have had a rough time of it. They might have went through a time of pain and mourning and suffering, but right now they're in a place of joy. They're in a place where their spirits are in a delighted state. They're in a place where they're enjoying themselves right now. And you know, we can take heart, because you know, oftentimes, you know, sometimes when you do a funeral in the winter, you know, and then you go to the cemetery, and you know, they have this the dirt dug up and piled up, and then they got the grave, and then you stand out there, man, and I mean, you got your coat on and you got your hat, and you know, you loved your loved one, and you stand out there trying to honor them, you know, as their body is being lowered into the ground. But man, it's cold, the ground is hard, and you watch the body of your loved one being lowered to the ground. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to think that the person that you knew and the person that you loved is now down in that ground? No. They are in a place where there's fullness of joy, and they are rejoicing around the throne of God. But see, the problem is that joy here on this earth is limited. When you think about joy on this earth, it's actually limited by a couple things. First of all, because we live in a sinful body, that we can never experience the full joy that God has in store for us. That we could never, in these bodies right here, experience what we're going to experience in heaven. And the reason that we can't experience it is because of sin. And also because we have times of suffering and we have times of sorrow, that hinders us from experiencing joy like we would in heaven. So I put this diagram together right here that says that we can have joy in this life. We can have joy in this life. But look, Our joy is only going to be able to go so far. Why? Because sin is all around us. That in our recreation, you know, we can have a lot of fun and we can have a lot of joy in this earth as far as our recreation is concerned. But my brothers and sisters, it can only go so far because sin puts a barrier on it. And it's only going to let us go so far. We can have our work and we can enjoy our work and we can love what we do and we can have, get great joy from it. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you don't work the job that I'm working. But, you know, we can enjoy our job, but it's only going to go so far. It's going to be limited because of sin. And even relationships, you know, there's nothing, you know, I enjoy Thanksgiving, getting with family and just, you know, having a good time and enjoying it. But even as much as I enjoy that, it's limited. It can only go so far. But if you go to that next slide, you know, we see here that in heaven, there's no barriers on our joy. There's no sin that's blocking the joy that we have when we get to heaven. Our recreation in heaven, we'll have unlimited joy. In our work in heaven, we'll have unlimited joy. In our relationships in heaven, we'll have unlimited joy. You see, on this earth, there's a lot of things that mess us up. I was reading this paragraph out of a book, and it talked about several individuals who made it in their fields. And yet and still, when they made it, their life held no joy. Voltaire was a French infidel, one of the most pronounced infidels of his time. And he wrote this, "I wish I had never been born." Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure. He lived a life of pleasure more than anyone did. And in the end, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Jay Gould, who was an American millionaire and had plenty of money when he died, he said, "I suppose that I am the most miserable man on the earth." Lord Beaconsfield had position and fame more than any of his time. And he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, and old age is regret." And then we all remember Alexander the Great, who conquered the world during his day. And after he conquered the world, he sat down in his tent and he wept because he said there are no more worlds for him to conquer. If you're looking for joy in this world, you're not going to find it. Only a relationship with God, only a relationship with God through Jesus Christ will bring the joy that God wants us to have. And when you think about how people are looking for, as the song said, looking for love in all the wrong places, there's a whole lot of people that are looking for joy in all the wrong places. And you're not going to find the kind of joy in the things of this world that God has meant for his people. But just think, my brothers and sisters, as we think of Jesus and him lying as a babe in that manger, why did he come? He came to bring us salvation. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt, no question that he came to bring us salvation. But he also came to bring us joy. He came to bring us joy. He said, in this world, you might have tribulation. You might have tribulation in this world. But be of good cheer. But be joyful. Because I have overcome. And so, we look at this idea that you can't find.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Joy from Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Joy from Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Joy from Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Joy from Heaven. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.